Mind Your Farm Business on realagriculture.com is brought to you by RBC Royal Bank.
How resilient is your farm? Resiliency on the farm can mean a couple different things. Your cropping system can be resilient. Your soil can be resilient. But how resilient is your farm business? In this fourth episode of Mind Your Farm Business, brought to you by RBC Royal Bank, we're talking margin compression. Farmers, of course, are price takers when it comes to crop prices. There are certainly tools that farmers can use to market their grain and try and maximize those crop price moves. But realistically, those are the management options. When we look at the cost to grow that crop, it breaks down to two things: variable costs, your inputs essentially, and fixed costs, land, machinery, those sorts of things. Farmers can't necessarily change input prices at all. And realistically, farmers grow what they're going to grow. You're not going to necessarily plant fewer acres just because input prices are up. So that leaves us really with fixed costs. So how then can a farmer manage fixed costs to anticipate or plan for or manage margin compression? For that discussion, we speak with Brent Gloy. He's a farmer from Nebraska, but he's also with Purdue University, and he's looked at margin compression from several different angles. In this fourth episode of Mind Your Farm Business, brought to you by RBC Royal Bank, Gloy gives us at least three areas to work on. And I will warn you that this podcast, while it is informative, is also one that's going to spur you to action. Anticipating margin compression and managing for it requires a bit of work, requires a little bit of homework, a little bit of number crunching, and even potentially it requires some communication and some conversations that maybe you've put off having. We look at margin compression from the side of fixed costs. Gloy talks about looking at your overall debt structure of your farm and offers some insight into why you might want to switch some of that up now in the short term for long-term resiliency. He also talks about one that makes some people quite uncomfortable, and that's machinery costs. We know that farmers love iron, but sometimes a new purchase or maybe the equipment that a farmer has isn't the right size or scope or scale or even vintage for the farm that he's running. From there, we move on to land agreements. And this is one where you might have to get out there and have some conversations now that are slightly uncomfortable that are well worth it in the long term. And all of this is, of course, to build resiliency into your farm business. So here we are. This is Brent Gloy and me, Lindsay Smith, editor of realagriculture.com, talking about margin compression and what you can do about it. So Brent, today we are talking about something that you've written about and presented about and discussed extensively. We're talking margin compression. So I want to start with, from your perspective, what is margin compression?
Well, when we say margin compression, what we're usually talking about is a situation where output prices fall and input prices don't. So as a result, what happens is your margin or your profit margin gets squeezed considerably. And that's really what has happened in at least the row crop sector and across, I think, North America as a whole. We saw a pretty dramatic decline in output prices, corn, soybeans, wheat, you name it. And the inputs, fertilizer, chemicals, seed, et cetera, have not really adjusted downward very much. So what as a result, rents, same thing. As a result, profits are pretty tight.
And now this is, of course, I mean, it's, I think farmers intuitively know and understand that, you know, certain costs ramp up faster than others. And of course, the reverse is also true. So some costs are slower to sort of fall in line with changing prices. So can you sort of describe which costs usually move faster, slower, and how that breaks down?
Well, typically, I think most people can kind of understand that. I think the frustration, we all kind of know that rents and land values are typically slower to go up and much slower to come down. And I think everybody kind of knows that. What I think is frustrating for a lot of farmers is to look at input prices, chemicals and fertilizer and whatnot, and say, well, you know, boy, those prices didn't come down at all. And it's kind of hard to reconcile why that's happening. So your inputs don't, they will adjust, but it just takes a little while. And in part because farming tends to be a very high fixed cost of production business. And so when you're in that kind of business, prices don't usually fall enough such that people want to stop planting things. And so as we keep planting, all of our input demands stay high. So, you know, we planted almost as many acres of corn and soybeans this year as we did last year. So as a result, you know, fertilizer and chemical prices have stayed high. And until we back off a bit on the planting, those input demands remain strong. And that really creates the margin squeeze. So, until we see some reduction in the demand for those inputs, those prices are going to stay high. As a result, what you have left to adjust are fixed costs, and as we all know, those are stubborn. They don't like to come down very much, and that takes a while. So we're kind of in this process where it's going to take a couple years, probably, for everything to kind of get back into some kind of an equilibrium state. That's really what we're waiting for.
And so I want to talk about, in just a moment, I do want to talk about sort of strategies for managing through margin compression and this sort of slower than perhaps what we'd like process of things sort of correcting. But who's at the biggest risk? Is there a type of farmer or a farmer in a certain situation that may have the biggest trouble dealing with this?
Well, I think the people at the greatest risk are clearly those with a lot of leverage, financial leverage, and then a lot of very high cash rents that are slow to adjust downward. So if they have lots and lots of acres cash leased at pretty high rates, it will take it's going to be hard to make that situation profitable in the short term. So as a result, they have to have a lot of financial reserves to make it through that. And so anybody that's a little short on financial reserves or pretty tight, I think, are facing probably the toughest time in all of this.
So now, of course, as you described, I mean, farmers, even if input prices are high, they still have crops they need to get in the ground and they're going to do it. What are the strategies that farmers can employ over the next few years to deal with these tight margins?
Well, I think the first thing is to kind of realize the situation is coming and that profitability is not likely to return to the levels that we saw the last few years in the near term. Now, I don't want to sound too bleak because clearly, you know, we're a long ways away from harvesting another gigantic crop. There's lots of things that can happen from now to harvest, but if we were to harvest another good crop, it's looking like those prices are going to be low. So now is the time to really work to maintain kind of cash reserves, get your debt structure under control. So when I talked about who's at risk, I didn't mention people who have purchased a lot of real estate recently at very high prices. Could have some challenges, and therein lies one of the opportunities. Probably people were very flush with cash coming out of the boom period, and some people probably purchased some fixed assets, land, real estate, other things, and put a lot of cash down on them. So now is the time if the debt structure in the business is out of line. In other words, you're financed really short term, with a lot of long-term assets, now's a good time to start thinking about looking at your debt structure and maybe matching your liabilities with your assets a little bit. So in other words, if you have a lot of land on the balance sheet and no land debt, this might be a time to think about moving, you know, borrowing against those and stretching out some of the terms on your shorter term debt.
Where does equipment fall into this?
Well, the key to getting through the margin squeeze, one of the keys, is to start getting your fixed costs under control. And when you look at your fixed costs on a typical farm, a big chunk of them are going to be in form of land rents and land payments, land values. The other is equipment. And now is probably a time to really think about, you know, do I have the right equipment complement on my farm? Do I have too much capacity? Do I really need that new piece of equipment this year? How can I kind of maintain my flexibility and the speed with which I can conduct my field operations, yet kind of get your fixed costs better under control? The first step in that process is really just starting to look at where you're at. I think a lot of farmers don't think too much or haven't really analyzed kind of what it really costs them on the equipment side to conduct their operations, and that's a good place to investigate. There's a why. All the data I've ever seen on this equipment item, you know, you just see a huge diversity of costs and investment and equipment, and so that tells me that, you know, it's worth investigating on most farms.
Do you get the sense that most farms have sort of a equipment cost per acre sorted out, or is that something that farmers really must tackle and sit down and figure out?
Yeah, I think most of us really need to sit down with a pencil and start looking at where we're at. It's a hard one to get a handle on. And, you know, most of us don't feel like we've got just way too much equipment. But at the end of the day, it's probably worth kind of investigating where we're at there and seeing, you know, again, you know, really thinking through, okay, what's the trade-off between repairs and investment and really thinking about where we're at on the equipment side. The other, you know, like I said, same thing with the debt structure. That's something you just have to really sit down and think about, you know, what are you, it's always nice to pay off debt fast. I mean, I like to do that myself. But at the same time, if it's really squeezing the cash flow and you have some capacity to spread the payments out a little bit, it might make sense to do so. The land rent one is a tricky one too, because there are clearly some rents that are probably too high for the environment that we're in today. But they're very hard to go back and renegotiate. But I think you have to have some open conversations with your partner on the landowning side and talk about where you're at and see if there are opportunities to find solutions there.
All right. Great advice there. Some tough topics certainly to tackle, but some clear places to start, at least. And that's, I guess, half the trouble, right? Is just knowing where to start and where to go.
Yeah, well, I think it's the hard thing is, you know, if the situation is really tight, you really need to sit down and look carefully. Because in some ways, if you think about farmland, for instance, it hasn't fallen in price very much. Used equipment values have gone down a fair amount in a lot of places, but land has held pretty stable. If it's a situation, you know, there might be a situation where you have a piece of property that doesn't fit your operation as well as you thought it would when you bought it, you might be able to monetize that at a pretty good price. If you're in a really tight financial situation, sometimes that hard decision of letting that go may allow you the opportunity to keep operating for decades, not just for a year. So, those are tough things to think about. But in a really tight environment, I think those are things that you've got to put on the table and at least look at.
Right. And so doing the tough work now so that this, your farm is the one that is around for generations to come, right? So this is short-term homework for long-term planning.
Right. It's really trying to build resiliency into your operation on the financial side. Make sure that you're able to kind of weather a storm. We don't know, nobody can tell you how long this situation is going to last. And like I said, I mean, maybe we have a growing problem with the crop this year and prices bounce right back. But it's also possible we could grow another big crop and then next year will be even as challenging, if not more, than this year. So I think now is the time to really, really push the pencil on some of these harder decisions that we really haven't had to make for a while in the really good environment we've been in. And at the end of the day, it really comes down to getting your cost of production low. And if you have a really high fixed cost structure, it's just really hard to do that. On a typical farm, about half of your costs are going to be variable costs, and the other half of your costs are fixed. And so it's really hard to get a low cost of production if you're high on the fixed cost side. You can't really make it up on the variable cost side. So, these are the costs I think we really have to look at and think hard about.
Okay, Brent Cloy, thank you so much for your time and for your insight. I'm sure it will start, or we hope it'll start, many conversations maybe around the table or in the tractor cab, and building in that resiliency for your farm. So thank you for your time.
You bet. Thank you. Enjoyed it.
Well, that wraps up this fourth episode of Mind Your Farm Business, where we were talking margin compression and how you can build resiliency into your farm. I am Lindsay Smith with RealAgriculture.com. Next up on Mind Your Farm Business, we're talking peer advisory groups, how you might find one, what they even are, and what the benefits are. As always, you can find us on Twitter at RealAgriculture, and you can find all our podcasts on iTunes.